So, a few years back, a young Walter Eichner was sitting right outside the doors there, waiting on Verna to come out of the church. And as he waited, he was approached by none other than the new pastor, Pastor Fred. So Pastor Fred walks out, and he's on his way to go run some errands, and he says, excuse me, young man, can you just point me in the right direction? Where's the post office? So Walter, being, you know, very worldly, he said, yeah, absolutely. You go out here, you turn left, you take Gilead all the way around, and then you turn left. It's you can't miss it. So Fred thanks Walter, and he says, actually, I just want to let you know I'm the new pastor here, and I hope to get to see you on Sunday morning. I will show you how to get to heaven. And Walter just sat there and shook his head. He said, aw, come on. You don't even know how to get to the post office. Similar to poor Pastor Fred. Jimmy actually asked me if that would, like, really happened. I was like, no, I'm just getting really good at this. So similar to our poor Pastor Fred, sometimes when you work with youth, you feel like you know where you're going, and then other times you feel 100% directionless. So as you remember, a few months ago I stood before you and I said that it had been laid on our hearts to have a summer of love and unity as we combined our Meadow Lake Youth Group and the East Huntersville Youth Group. I had a catchy name, created a really cool logo, we planned out this really awesome kickoff party. We had inflatables, we had water guns, relay races, food, and tons of fun. But being completely upfront and honest with you, I had no clue what was about to happen. I had no idea what God had in store. Each week as we would gather, I would just pray and simply ask God to be present and show me what it was that He needed us to do. I was out in left field with this one, being honest, and I knew if I was left to my own devices that this idea would go nowhere. So with that, I turned to Scripture, and I prayed before every single one of our meetings harder than I ever had before. And for some reason, God continuously drew me back time and time again to the beginning portion of Philippians. Philippians 1 verse 2 begins with, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." This is obviously an English version of the Bible, but the original words that Paul used for grace, charis, I really don't know if I said that right, I'm sorry, and peace, shalom, which were from two different languages. The interesting thing about this greeting was that he combined two different cultures in his greeting as well. Both are typical greetings, but however, they are linked to a special greeting for a racially blended church. The church in Philippi had been blended from the start. So with this greeting, Paul was more than just acknowledging that they had different cultures and different languages. He was linking two really important Christian concepts: God's gifts to his children of grace and peace. When Paul was writing to the Philippians, as I mentioned, they were already a racially blended group. However, at the beginning of this summer, we were not. In order to feel God's grace and peace among each other, we had a few obstacles that we needed to overcome. The stereotypical differences between us being a big one. Realizing that in order to cross over these differences, we first had to identify what they were, we got started. So in the middle of a whiteboard, written was the word white. I asked the kids to proceed and start yelling out stereotypes associated with that word. It was really slow at first, but once they realized that the shock of their words wasn't going to make me scream or get them in trouble, they really started rolling. I'll show you that slide now. Then it was time to name black stereotypes, which is also pictured. But to really hammer this idea home, I called each person to come and stand beside the board associated with their race. And I asked, would these qualities listed here be an accurate summary of this person? And now if you'll show the next slide. As you can see, Zaina is standing beside. The "of course nots" and then the "oh, I got it" started coming up from around the room. This exercise did more than just open our eyes to the stereotypes that exist in our world and how they are not accurate, but they accomplished a goal that Paul had written about to the Philippians hundreds of years ago. accepting God's grace and peace and extending it to our fellow believers. We had to come to terms with the fact that there are differences between us. We had to learn to celebrate what makes us unique and special, and celebrate the differences instead of trying to hide from the stereotypical lies. We needed to accept God's grace and peace so that we could then extend it to each other. We realized that acknowledging the fact that, yes, there are differences between us, that doesn't make one group higher or better than the other one, and that no one person is ever going to fit in a stereotypical mold. We realized that we needed to establish a safe place where we felt comfortable coming and being ourselves without offending someone. We live in a world that is so sensitive to everybody being equal, and if you see color, you must be racist. Well, unless you're colorblind, you are going to notice that Zaina has black skin and I have white skin. That doesn't make me racist, that just simply means that I can see. God created her different from me, not just in her skin tone, but in many beautiful ways. The fact that we learned how to notice and appreciate those differences is what makes this group so special. Regardless of skin color, we were different in many ways, but then the same in the important ones. And that is awesome. And just this morning in Sunday school, they were joking about being sitting, we had to sit together, and they said, yeah, let's be Oreos in cream or something, because we got to be blended together. So we can talk about it, we can joke about it now, and that is awesome. Simply pretending that there was not this wall dividing our groups did nobody any favors, and in fact, it just put this awkward tension in the air, and we needed to tear it down. It made it impossible for us to relax and form genuine friendships with one another. So once we started the process of clearing the air, so to speak, we could move forward. We grouped together into prayer partners. From here, our group had the opportunity to truly form friendships with one another, to be vulnerable and share prayer needs and concerns. And believe it or not, they would show up to the next meeting asking where their prayer partner was. I even had Devon look at me and say, well, you know, Niall, he's like really cool. Can I hang out with him like outside of this? I said, yes, Devon, go for it. They are truly beginning to be one in spirit and mind. And that is exactly what Paul urges the Philippians, and furthermore, all of us to do. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 6 says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. And I highlighted those there. That's not the way it really comes. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Paul shows us that by being united, we ultimately have the same mindset as Jesus. He came to this earth not to be served, but to serve others. And his service is strictly about love. Everything he did for anybody was 100% out of love for that person. Love one another as he loves us. Despite differences in skin tone, financial status, popularity, and more, just love one another. It's that simple. That is what it is all about, and that is what one is seeking to do. We learned these and many other lessons this summer. We had a lot of fun. We went to Dave and Buster's. We went to Cookout. We went quarry jumping and swimming together. We had meaningful services here at Meadow Lake, and we became prayer warriors for one another. And we started the process of developing relationships with each other. But then, As you can all probably relate to, we blinked our eyes and summer was over. It was time to get back to school, time to get back to your regular schedules and routines. So I asked each youth to respond individually so that they didn't feel pressure to answer any one way. But I asked them to let me know, where do we go from here? Do we have East Huntersville Youth Association and Meadow Lake Youth, or do we stay one? I am the proudest youth director in the world as I stand before you to say every single one of them said, we will stay together. We would be hypocrites if we went back to segregated groups. Everything we worked for and claimed to stand for this summer would have been done in vain. And we can't claim to the need for change without changing ourselves. What an amazing group of young people we have. They continue to show growth and maturity and love in ways I never imagined. God has chosen an amazing task for these young people, and He knew just what He was doing when He brought each and every one of them here. And for a moment, if I were to get to see this group one, if I were to get to see our story from the vantage point of God, where you can see history spread out far and wide in both directions, I'd have to say that you are only getting a glimpse of our story. This is just the preview, the trailer of what is to come. Because very truly, I tell you, we are at the beginning of our journey. I would be lying if I told you that we had made the full impact on the community that we wanted to already. I would be lying if I told you that we didn't still face major obstacles. I would be painting you a pretty picture but a lie if I were to tell you that we fully understand where we are even going to go next. Because something this magnificent, this awesome, cannot come from a human idea or human hands. It is truly an act of God. He is continually, on a daily and a weekly basis, teaching all of us involved more and more. He is growing us in ways that we didn't know that we needed to grow. He's opening our eyes to the needs that we didn't even know existed. And He is leading us to people that we didn't know needed our love. And then my favorite, He is leading us to people who are loving and helping us who we didn't realize that we needed love and help from. You see, this is a partnership. This is not one group growing in and preaching and saving another. This is simply a group of youth who are acknowledging the fact that their greatest need is a Savior. This movement started with the idea of bridging two races together and quickly is growing into something so much bigger. Because the truth is, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what your skin color is, the size of the house that you come home to, or how successful in school or at work you are. We all need love, and we all need Jesus. That is a lesson that we can all take from this group. Get out of your comfort zones a little bit. Be courageous enough to go out into the world and let Jesus love other people through you. He needs all of us to be His instruments of change and love out into the world. Are you willing to take that risk and love others as Jesus loves them? Are you courageous enough to take the one challenge?
Oh, she posted it on YouTube.
You posted it on YouTube.
It meant a lot because I got to meet people that I probably wouldn't meet on a normal basis, you know, just see them, I probably wouldn't know. And it was just something to do that wasn't horribly boring.
What?
Had an impact on me because it allowed me to meet people that I would never have encountered before or known about like before. It's really helped, you know, help me expand my circle of friends and meet a whole lot of people, but awesome people. Like, they're all awesome, great new friends that I've made. So, yeah.
Tell me about Summer of One.
I met a new friend, her name is Alexis, and I think that if it wasn't for the Summer of One, that I probably would have never met her, or you would have been her friend, so that's pretty cool. And I had fun with it.
Summer of One meant a lot to me. It gave me a place where I could just go and have fun and be free, and meet new people, and make new friends, and all be in the presence of God at the same time. It just gave me a sense of community and love and just acceptance, and it was just an amazing feeling to go and just spend my Wednesday nights at a place that I love.
So what has the Summer of One meant to you?
It was, like, at first, I didn't think it would, like, be effective on me, but when it was, like, different people in the group and I got to, like, hear their opinions, it really, like, changed me and how the way I felt and everything, so I really enjoyed it a lot.
We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous.
But it took me hours and hours and hours. I have no idea how she does this. on like a regular basis. So thank you for everything you've ever done. I realize now how tedious it is. So, yes. So love was Jesus's greatest command and our greatest gift. With the ultimate sacrifice of love, he humbled himself, became man, and died so that we could receive that love in full. And hopefully remember to extend that love to one another. And to remember that love and sacrifice, we have the honor of coming to the table this morning.
I don't know about you, but that's a beautiful testimony to the love of Jesus Christ working in the hearts of our young people. And as Christine said, Jesus wanted us to always remember not only his sacrifice, but why. That he died on the cross so we could tear down those barriers in our hearts between each other and him. And so this morning, I invite you to come to this table and remember. But don't just remember, come here and dump at this table whatever barriers you've got in your life against someone who doesn't look like you or sound like you or think like you. Because my friends, at this table, we are one. And I pray that this morning we will leave here more one in our hearts for each other in Jesus Christ than ever before in our lives. So if you come to this table, remember that on the night before Jesus was crucified, he took bread, and after he blessed it, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. As often as you do this, remember me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed by my blood, shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins, forgiveness of your sins and my sins for judging one another, forgiveness of our sins for not loving one another as he loves us," and saying, "You are forgiven. Come and be changed. Come to the table."